Today's Daf Yomi is Daf Nun Aleph in Brochos. And we begin four lines from the top of the Amud. Bo emine me rechista. The Talmidim asked from rechista the following shayla. Misha ochal vishosa. If somebody ate and drank, velo beirach, but he didn't make a brocha. Ma'u shiach zavivarach. He didn't make a brocha rishona. Rashi says he didn't say hamotzi or a brocha on the yayin. And now he still has food in front of him. What should he do? So Amar Lahu, so Rav Chisda told the Talmidim, Misha ochal shum. If somebody ate garlic, garlic obviously can give a person bad breath. Verecho nodev. And now, as a result, he has bad breath. So yachzav yochal shum acher, kidei shehei recho nodev. Should he eat more shum and therefore have even further bad breath? So the idea over here is, of course he has to make a bracha. What should he do right now? He has food in front of him, so of course he has to go and make a bracha on the food that he still hasn't eaten. Rashi says over here, that kidei sheyasriach yoser, like he should be even further worsening himself, he should further ruin himself, v'yaseh bracha levatola, and he should make a bracha levatola. So now, the Marsha says over here, that's a mistake in Rashi. What are we talking about, a bracha levatola? So the Mefarshim explained that maybe the person really doesn't want to eat anymore. And now if he eats more, he's really not essentially eating. And Rashi's saying that now he's going to go make a bracha just so he gets around the fact that he didn't make a bracha. And this would be a bracha levatola. In any event, so the Gemara says that Ruchista answered that he should make another bracha. Based upon this, Omer Ravina, Ravina says, Hilchkoch, afilu gomar sudaso, even if a person has finished his meal, yachzav yivarach, even though he has no more food in front of him, he still should make a bracha rishona. As Rashi explains, kiven dimnivska be'emsa, if you remembered in the middle, yochol yivarach, so afilu gomar sudaso, nam yochol yivarach, he could still make a bracha rishona. Where does he get this from? The Tanya, because there's a brayis in Psachim that says, if a person went to the mikvah, toval, and then va'ola, when he comes out of the mikvah, Omer ba'aliyaso, when he leaves the mikvah after he's been toveled, he says baruch, which of course always means will be a baruch ato Hashem alkeinu melech olam. Asher kichron mitzvah tzivanu ala tefila. He makes the bracha on the tefila after he's done with the tefila. So too over here, he can make the bracha on the food even though he's already finished all of the food, and that's mistama where Ravina got his din from. However, the Gemara says that's incorrect. Velohi hasa meikara garva lochazi. In that situation, Rashi says we're talking about a person that's Tomei and therefore can't make a bracha based upon Takanas Ezra. Tosa says we're talking here about a non-Jewish person who's converting. So he's a ger. So when he's a ger, he can't make the bracha. When he's a guy, he can't make the bracha. Only now that he's misgayer can he make the bracha. In any event, he's a gavra l'chazi. He was unable to make the bracha. He was incapable of making the bracha beforehand. But here, hacha, meikara gavra l'chazi. This person certainly was able to make a motzi or a bar piya gofen, but he didn't. It's too late now. He finished itche. Therefore, it's pushed aside. Tosos further explains that based upon the fact that a ger always has to make the bracha after he comes out of the mikvah, not beforehand, so all the time we make a bracha on the tefillah after the tefillah. And he says it's well by netilas yadayim. Person may be coming from the bathroom and can't make the bracha before he does netilas yadayim, which Rambam ideally says you should make the bracha al netilas yadayim before you wash your hands. So therefore, we always make the bracha after you wash your hands. The Rosh explains as well that you're still drying your hands. It's al netilas yadayim. It's also on the drying of the hands, and therefore it's still over la'asiyosin. The Mar continues and says, Tana Rabbanan, bring down a braisa. Ispargus. What is ispargus? It has nothing to do with asparagus. Ispargus, the Oruch says, is Hu min kruv vishorin osobiyain. It's some sort of a cabbage that they would soak in water. The Rashbam in Pesachim says it was undiluted wine or beer that was mixed with this cabbage. Rashi over here says it was a kos shahayu shosim b'chol boker. It was a cup that they would drink every morning, aliba rekan, on an empty stomach, and it had lirufua. It had medicinal benefits. The Sifsei Chachamim brings down, it's a Greek word, which means morning wine. Ispargus means morning wine, and the Sifsei Chachamim adds in the name of the Gaonim that they would drink this to ward off various mazikin, which were prevalent in those days, but are not prevalent now. In any event, this ispargus, the Gemara tells us, is yofel alev. It's good for the heart, betovel einayim, good for the eyes, and certainly, v'koshe kein l'vnei meyayim, it's certainly good for your intestines. And in fact, v'arogilbo, yofel l'chu gufo, and if somebody drinks it regularly, it's going to be beneficial for his entire body. However, if you get drunk from it, because we pointed out it has wine in it, that's not going to be good for your entire body. What in the world is this doing over here? So the Mefarshim bring down, the Tosus Harosh, for example, says that we have over here, in a moment, we're going to say, Shisha Dvarim Nemru B'Yispargus. And this is connected to the Dalid Dvarim Shenemru B'Pas beforehand. That's one way to connect them. Others say, since we're talking about wine over here, that's why this discussion is continuing over here with the Yispargus, because we're going to say various things about a Kol Shel Bracha. In any event, midiktani, the Gemara says, yofel alev, from the fact that we said that the asparagus is good for the heart, michlau, it implies the becham raskina, that we're talking about wine asparagus. We'll see in a moment, there are other types of asparagus as well. Uktani, the kol shekein levdei b'yayim, and certainly if it's good for the heart and it's good for the eyes, it certainly is good for the b'nei b'yayim, for the stomach, for the intestines. But the Gemara says elsewhere, we say no. Vatanya le, the first lamed means for lot. What is lot? So Rashi tells us it's an abbreviation over here that stands for Rashi Tevos, lev, ayin, and tchol, the spleen. So it's good for the heart, it's good for the eyes, and it's good for the spleen. So this asparagus over here is only good for lot. It's yofe. However, liramat, the li again means for, this ramat, Rashi says this is Rashi Tevos, for the head, rosh, me'ayim, the intestines, and tachtonios, and for hemorrhoids. Kasha, it's bad for those. So how can you tell me that certainly it's good for the me'ayim? This asparagus is bad for the me'ayim. Shmuel says, no, there are two different types of asparagus. Kitanya hi, the miyushan, the older wine, that's good. Kiditnan, as we learned in the Mishnah in the Dorim. Kiditnan, as it says over there, konim yayim, if a person takes it upon himself a neder not to drink wine, konim is a lashon of a neder. It's as if he said, it's a carbon to me, the wine should be like a carbon to me. So if he says that the wine is also to me with a neder, shani toim, that I will not drink it, so shahayayin kosher livnei meyayim, and the reasoning he gives is because wine is bad for the intestines. And then people tell him, amrlo, valo miyushan yofehu livnei meyayim. Then they tell him and explain to him that no, in fact, you're wrong. The older wines, Miyushan wine, Rashi explains, is from 3 years. Shogim Ushanim. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, Yoshein Mishel Ishtakad, it's from the year before, and Miyushan Ishel Shaloshanim is from 2 additional years before, 3 years ago. So therefore, older wine, Miyushan wine, is in fact good for the intestines. Vishasaki, the person didn't say anything. In other words, he was silent. He said, I didn't know that. And therefore, I wouldn't have made my neder if I'd known that old wine is good for you. So then the girsa that we have is also b'chadosh. He's still not allowed to have the new wine, but mutter b'miyushan, but is allowed to have the old wine. However, the Vilna Gaon brings down that, in fact, we shouldn't be goris over the way it's also b'chadosh, because, as we learn over there in the Gemara Nedarim, that it says, once hutter michlalo, hutter kulo. If part of the nether goes away, then the whole nether goes away. Therefore, the Vilna Gaon's opinion over here is that we say umutter not only in miyushan, but he's mutter in all different types of wine. So he's not only mutter in the miyushan, he's actually mutter in the chodesh as well. Shmamina. So there you see, it's a clear raya that miyushan is in fact good for the intestines. And when we said that it's good for the intestines, of course, of name yayim, it's talking about miyushan wine. Now we have that brisa that I alluded to before, Tana Rabban. The brisa states that there are 6 things, shisha dvarim nemu b'asparagus, that are said about this drink called asparagus. And here are the 6 things. This is the way the Shemin Rokeach breaks them up, also the Menachem Eshev Neshef and the Vilna Gaon, because we actually have more than 6 things over here, so this is how they break them up. Number one, ein shosin oso elu kishuchayu moli. That's number one. That it should only be drunk when it's chai. Chai over here is translated as yayin chai she'eno mazug, Rashi says, undiluted wine. Others translate it as fresh. And mole, it has to be filled. In other words, you should have at least the revius over here, a full cup. That's number one. Point number two about the asparagus is mekablo biyamin v'shoseo b'smol. You should accept it in your right hand, in other words, pick it up in your right hand, but pass it to your left hand to drink it. Number three, they misichin achrov, you're not allowed to talk after it. They ain't mafsikin bo. This is number three, that you're not allowed to talk while you're drinking it, and you shouldn't interrupt yourself, you should drink it straight. Mefarshim point out, normally we don't drink a cup just in one shot, we normally drink it in 2 sips, but here you're supposed to bedavka drink it in 1 gulp. Number four, vein machzirin oso el mi shenos nolo. You should only return the cup when you're done with it to the person that gave it to you. That's number four. Number five, v'rok acharov, you should spit after you drink it. And number six, vein somchin oso ela bimino. And afterwards, Rashi explains, lechol achrov miyad, you should go and eat something right afterwards, but only of the same thing that that is made from. So for example, if you're dealing over here with wine asparagus, you should then have grapes after it. So those are the 6 things that were said about asparagus. Gemara says, wait a second, Botanya, ain't sokin oso ela bapas. Here it says that your bedavka should have pas, he should have bread after you drink this asparagus. And a minute ago we said ela bimino, which would mean grapes. Gemara says, not a stira, lokasha, these two brises aren't in conflict with each other. They're both talking about different things. Hobe de chamra, hobe de shichra. We're talking about chamra, so in fact, you shouldn't have grapes after you drink this asparagus that's made from wine, but you should in fact have pas. And that which he said, that it is something that you should only have its min, that's when you're dealing with the shichra. So then, as Rashi explains over here, you should have, if you had shecha that was made from tanim, so then you should have tanim, you should have figs. If it was shecha that was made from tmarim, dates, then you should have tmarim afterwards. The Gemara continues and says, Tani Chod, we have one brisa that says, for lilat yofe, liramat koshe. One brisa says that for the lev, the enayim, and the tchol, for the heart, for the eyes, and the spleen, the asparagus is good. And for the rosh, the meayim, and the tachtonios, that it's bad, the asparagus is koshe. But then the other brisa says the exact opposite. B'tani yidoch, liramat yofe, lilat koshe. They seem to be totally in opposite to each other. So again, Gemara says, lo kashe, there's no real contradiction between the two brises. They're talking about different asparagus. The first one that said it's good for the lot, bad for the ramah, that's talking about wine asparagus, hobe de chamra. The second one that says that it in fact is good for ramah and bad for lot, that's talking about hobe de shichra. Again, another brisa, toni chada rok achrov loke, if you go and spit afterwards, it's dangerous for you. You're going to get loke. As Rashi says over here, loke becholi. You're going to get some sort of sickness. But then the first price that we have at Tanyidach, lo rok achor of loke. If you don't spit afterwards, it's dangerous. So again, how do you explain the stira? Not surprisingly, lokasha, habad the chamra, habad the shichra. If you're going to spit afterwards, after you had the asparagus that's made from wine, that's dangerous. However, the shichra, habad the shichra, the asparagus that's made from beer, it's not dangerous to spit afterwards. Amar Vashi, Hashul Diamris, Lo Rok Achrov Loke. Now that we said that if you don't spit after you had the wine asparagus, it could be dangerous for you. So then he says, Meimov Nizrokin, Afilu Bifnei HaMelech. So then when you have this saliva in your mouth, after you have the asparagus over here from wine, you should spit it out even if you're in front of a king. And don't worry about the denigration to the king's honor, but it's a fatal thing. If you don't spit it out, you're going to get sick, and therefore, yorok v'ayistakin. Better to spit it out, Rashi says, and don't put yourself in danger. Tamar continues and tells us, Amar Rishmol ben Elisha, Shlosha Dvar Masochli, Suriel Sar Haponim. There are three things of Rishmol ben Elisha when he went up to Shemayim. The Midrashim tell us over here that in the Arzi Halavonim that we say on both Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av, in the famous paragraph about the Asar Rugei Malchus, so Rishmol ben Elisha went up to Shemayim to find out what's going on. And while he was there, he heard this malach called Suriel Sar Haponim speaking. Who is this Suriel Sar Haponim? So there are a number of different opinions. The Sifsei Chachamim says he's called the Sar Haponim, and also Metatron is known as the Sar Haponim, so he suggests that this is the same Malach as Metatron. Metatron was Chanoch ben Yered from Bereishis, and he went up to Shemayim, and he became a Malach. So either they're the same, the Sar Haponim and Metatron are the same, or there are more than one Malach that are called the Sar Haponim. And anyway, this is a certain angel, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha heard this angel say the following, three things. Al titol chalukcha bishachris miyada shamash. You shouldn't take your garment in the morning when you're getting dressed from your shamash directly from his hands. If you look in the Gilgan Hashas over here, he brings down the Magen Avraham, and the Magen Avraham over there says, in the name of the Marek Kohen, who brings a Levush, that even if the Shamish washed his hands, you shouldn't take it from him. And the Mishnah Berurah brings this down in the name of the Prima Godin. So again, Al Tito Chalucha B'Shachas Mi'ana Shamish V'Tilbash. Don't take it from him and put it on. Number two, V'Al Tito Yodcha Mimi Shelo Nota Yodav. Don't let somebody wash your hands if they haven't washed their hands themselves. The Magen Avraham brings down over here as well, because there's a pasuk that says Vizoha Tohar ala Tome, that the person who does the Azos for a person who's Tome, he himself should be Tor. So therefore, this is from the Zohar, and we should make sure that the person who's tarring your hands should also be Tor himself. Number three, Vyatazir Kos Ispargus Elmi Shinosnu Lucha. You shouldn't give back the Kos Ispargus except to the person who gave it to you. Why? Because of various shadim over here. Mipnei, she tachsifis, the name of the shade is tachsifis. Rashi explains that tachsifis is a shame of a chabura shadim, it's a group of shadim, or of amile istaliganis, shomalachei chavola, and this is a group of a chabura of malachei chavola, so it's either shadim over here, or angels that are somehow destructive, and they are waiting for you, mitzaben liyodam. These either destructive angels or the shadim are waiting for a person who has done one of these three things, and then in this situation, when he does one of these things, and they can capture him, and he's theirs, and they can do trouble for him. Similarly, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Shlosha Dvarim Sochli Malach HaMoves, there are three things that the Malach HaMoves told me. Now, there's a fascinating Gemara elsewhere in Ksubas Ayin Zayin, which tells the story how Rabbi Shimon Levi met the Malach HaMoves and outsmarted the Malach HaMoves and entered into the Gan Eden alive because he stole the Malach HaMoves' sword and he gave it back because he was able to stay in Gan Eden alive. In any event, at that time, the Malach HaMoves told Rabbi Shimon Levi three similar ideas. Number one, Al Tito Chalucho Shachas Miyad HaShamas V'Silbash, don't take your garment from the attendant in the morning and put it on. Number two, V'Al Tito Yodcho Mimish Lonota Yoda, the same thing as before, don't go and have somebody pour negovasa on you. Most of the Mepharshim say it's only talking about negovasa, not talking about other times during the day. But in any event, don't have somebody pour negovasa on you and have him wash your hands if he hasn't done negovasa himself. And number three, the Al Tamod, here number three is different. The Al Tamod Lufnei HaNoshim, don't stand in front of women, b'shor shechoz ros min ha-meis, at the time that they're coming back, never from a cemetery, from burying a person. The Maharshal explains that this is a dangerous time because of the chait of Chava, causing Adam and Chava to eat from the Yetz Hadas, and they cause death in the world, so therefore, it's a dangerous time. And he says, the Gemara continues, Mipnei Sha'ani, this is the Malach HaMoves talking to Rabbi Shimon Levi, I'm dancing, Merake, Ubal of Neyem, V'charvi B'yodi, and I have my sword over there ready to cause trouble. V'yeshli Rishus L'chaval, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted me Rishus to cause damage in this situation. No, what happens, V'poga Maitekante, if you happen to meet up with women at that point in time, what should you do? So Linshov, you should jump, Miduchte, from your place, Arba Amos, go to another place, and then it won't be destructive. Iiko Nara, if there's a river over there, Liavri, go to the other side of the river. Viiko Drocha Achrina, if there's another road you can take, Lezabar, pass on that other road rather than go near the women. Viiko Guda, if there's a wall over there, Leiko Achora, go behind the wall, so again, you don't have this connection over here with this women coming back from the cemetery. Velo, and if you don't have any choices over here, lihodrape, turn your face away from them. The layman, you should say, Vayom Hashem al Satan, Hashem said to the Satan, Yigar Hashem b'chol ha-Satan, v'gomer, ad dechalpi mine, until they passed by, and this will be protective. These types of Gemaras are very difficult for us to understand. They have very deep and esoteric meanings, and they're conveying messages from the authors of these statements to Gidolim and Yechidim in future generations. They'll understand these messages, but the average person will not. That's one of the understandings of these types of Gemaras that I heard from my Rebbe. Amr Zeir, Amr Revo, Zeir said the name of Revo, others say Ramalei b'masnisa, others say it was in a braisa, Asor Dvarim Nemu b'koshel bracha. There are 10 statements that were made about a koshel bracha. Rashi says over here, the koshel bracha that we're talking about is the kosh that you make on Birchas HaMazon. Ideally, as we learned previously, you should make Birchas HaMazon a la kosh. So, number one, Ton Hadocha Ushtifa. You have to go and wash it on the inside. Ushtifa means to rinse it out on the outside. Chai, it should be, again, we said chai normally means that it's undiluted and you have to dilute it. Rashi says, Shemozu b'mayim le'acha shenasana b'kos chai. You shouldn't go and drink it and make a bracha on it when it's raw, because we learned previously in Daf Nun that it says, Ein mevarchin, according to some, you don't make a bar piyag gofen. Rashi, however, brings down another explanation that it's a foreign language word called frishik, which means fresh according to the Targum. In other words, it should be fresh type of wine. So in any event, number 1, 2, 3, and 4, Hadocha, Shtifa, Chai, and Mole. Number 5 is Eter, it should be crowned. We'll see what this means in a moment in the Gemara. The Eter means it's covered up in a certain way. Again, we'll see what this means in a moment. And note, Lobishne Yodav, you should take it with both of your hands. This is as Mepharshim explained, is demonstrating your Chavivus for this mitzvah of the Koshel Bracha. But then, the Nosel B'yom, and then you put in your right hand because you don't want to make it look like it's a burden upon you that you have to hold it with two hands. And we always make a Bracha with something in our right hand because that demonstrates also your stronger hand. You want to hold it with your stronger hand. You lift it up from the ground, a tefach. They were lying on the ground. They weren't eating at tables, so therefore you have to lift it up. This is so other people should see the koshel bracha. The nose in Einabo, you should look at it. We'll tomorrow we'll explain so you have more kavana over here in making the bracha. The Yeshomim, and some add, Af Mishagru b'matonel in Shebeso. Some say you should send it to your wife to give her to drink from the koshel bracha as well. In Shebeso, Rashi says, means your wife. Amar Yochanan, Anu Ein Lanu El Arba. He says we don't have all these 10. Some explain that this was pre-Beis HaMikdash, there were 10. But post-Beis HaMikdash, with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there are only 4 things that we have to do over here. Bovad. Only these 4 things. On the side, it has an interesting mnemonic for this. The simon over here is Chamisha. The Ches is for Chai, the Mem is for Mole, the Shin is for Shtifa, and the He is for Hadocha. So the mnemonic for these four is the word five. In any event, only these four are applicable nowadays. What exactly are all of these? So Tana, the Braisa learns, Hadocha means Mibifnim, to rinse it out on the inside, Ushtifa means Mibachutz, to rinse it out on the outside. Tosus explains, he says, Davka She'en Bekos Yofe, it's when the cup is not clean, and it has leftovers from previous drinks over here. So then you have to rinse it out. But if it's clean, you don't have to rinse it out. This is very important because you're supposed to do this shtifa, hadocha and shtifa, when you take Kiddush cup, when you take your Avdala cup. So how come people don't do that? Some people do, but why don't other people do that? So the answer is when you rinsed it out after it was used and you put it back in your closet, so then it had its hadocha and shtifa. Now when you take it out again, so the mafarshim bring down, that's considered as if it had hadocha and shtifa. Hadocha and shtifa don't have to be immediately before usage, they just have to be sometime before it's being used. Amr Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan says, "Kol mivarech al kos mole. If you're making a bracha on a kos mole, notes no nachal b'mitzar. Just like you filled up the cup over here, so you're going to be given bounty and all sorts of good things that don't have boundaries. Shenemar u'mole birkas Hashem yom v'darom yirasha. If you fill up the kos mole, you fill it up to the top, so then you're going to have yom v'darom yirasha. You'll have limitless bounty over here." Riyoz Mechanino Mer, Zoch Venocho Shnei Olamim, this Lashon over here, Yom V'Darom, implies Shnei Olamim over here. Olam HaZev, Olam HaBa. You'll get in this world, you'll have the drink, as well as you'll be Zoch to Olam HaBa. Fine. What is Itur? That was the next thing of the 10 that we originally listed. Itur, we said, was crowning. So what exactly does that mean, crowning? So Rav Yehuda, Matreyu B'Tamidim. So Rav Yehuda would surround all the Tamidim around him at the time that we make the bracha. Tamid of Sovivim Oso Kishu Mevarech, Rashi says. And that's called crowning. You're giving honor over here. You're putting a crown on it. Rav Chisda Ma'ater Leh B'Natli. Rav Chisda surrounded it with all other cups. He filled up other cups over here, and that was showing chashivas over here to the cup that he was making the bracha on. There's a beautiful Teferis Shmuel over here, which you find in the back on the bottom of the Rush. So Oslamid, he says, this is the minhag. He says, many gedolim, they don't leave empty cups on the table during the benching. He says, it's bad enough that we don't do this crowning over here by filling up additional cups, but to have empty cups around it, that's certainly not right. And he says, this is the marker for people to clear the table of empty cups prior to going and benching. Now, the different gersos over here, we'll just leave the gersa that we have. Amar Rav Chanan Ubechai. Rav Chanan says that it has to be over here raw, undiluted wine, because the gersa afterwards is Amar Rav Sheshes Ubebirchas Aretz. So what they understand this is as follows, that you have it raw originally, and then when you say the bracha al Aretz Yal HaMazon, then you fill it up, you dilute it. As Rashi points out, Kishamagi al Ubechas Aretz Mosif Aleh, that's when you go fill it up further. What is this ituf? We said is covering it up. So Rapop and Ma'atev, he would go put his talis over his head. He would put his garment over his head. That's the marker for some people that they bench Bedafka wearing a hat. The Yosiv, and then he would go and sit and bench. Ravasi Paris Sudra Reshi, he would put some sort of a kerchief over his head. He would put some sort of a head covering over his head, and this way he would give it honor. Then it says, "Note lo b'shtayodav." You pick it up with both of your hands. So Amar Rav Chanina bar Papa, Micro. Where do we get this from? It's based upon Tilim. It says, "Sui dechem kodesh uvarchu es Hashem." And then v'nosel miyomin. Then you put it into your right hand, as I pointed out before. So you pick it up with both hands to show chashivus, and then you put it into your right hand because that's the hand that you hold something when you're making a bracha. Lemaisa, the person is picking up a glass of soda. He should pour it into the cup and hold the cup in his right hand, and then make the bracha. So to avir with benching, you put it into your right hand, and then you make the brachos with benching and the bar piagof, and after the benching with it in your right hand. The Mogin of Ram brings down a beautiful Zohar. He says there's a custom. You see people doing this. They hold the kos in the palm of their hand, and their fingers are wrapped around it, so to say. They hold the fingers upright around the cup. That's also this concept over here of covering up the cup and crowning the cup. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Amar Chia Barava, Amar Yochanan, Rishonim Shalu, Smol Maush Tesayel Yomin. Are you allowed to use your left hand to help support the cup in your right hand? So Amar Rav Ashi, Hov Rishonim by Luhu, V'lo Yivshid Luhu. The Rishonim asked this question and they didn't answer it. So what do we do? So Anan, we turn to Yom Beis, Anan Navid Luchumro. So we go Luchumro over here and we say that the left hand should not support the cup at all at the time that you're making the bracha. The Beis Yosef brings down the Das Torah over here and says, why do we go Luchumro? It's only Din the Rabbanim. So we should say you should let the left hand support it. So he says, it's a hidur mitzvah over here, and hidur mitzvah, zeh kelev yanveyu, that's a din d'oraisa. So for the hidur mitzvah, we'd rather go l'chumrah. The Mefarshim left as an unanswered question as well. What about using your left hand to support your right hand, which is holding onto the cup? So some say yes, some say no. The next thing amongst the ten was Umagbiya Minakarka Tevach. You lift it up from the ground, the Tevach. Again, they were on the ground when they ate. They were lying down. So therefore, you have to lift it up. Amar Vacha Barachanina, Micro, where do we get this idea from? So this is from Tilamu. So Kos Yeshua says, Saw, Vashem Hashem Ekra. Then when you lift it up, that's when you make the bracha. Again, I mentioned that the Madani Yantip brings down that you do this, Yehei Nira Lekol Amasub, and everybody shall see the kosher bracha. Then it says, "No sin beinav bo." You should look at the cup while you're benching. So he says, "Ki hechad lo nisach daiti minei," that you should have concentration. That what you're saying, the bar priya gofen is on the benching. If you're looking at it, that'll give you better kavana. Of course, if a person needs to look into a bencher, then you're allowed to look into the bencher. And then we said, "Umishagro leinshe beso." You send it to your wife to drink b'matana as a present. Why? Ki hechad tis barach devisu, that she should get a bracha as well. The Mefarshim Madani Yantav brings down from the Rabbeinu Yonah, because this kosher bracha is mizbarach pri bit necha. Ukidei shaniach bracha al beso shigru in she beso. As we'll see in a moment in the story, that the kosher bracha, when it's drunk, will help you have a large family. And therefore, you want Bedavka to give the kosher bracha to your wife, as she's the one that will have the large family. However, this leads to a very interesting story. Ula, Iklu Levei Rav Nachman. Ula went to Rav Nachman's house, and he ate there, Karech Rifta. And he was given the honor, after he had the meal, after he had the bread, to Baruch, to lead the benching. So Baruch, Birchas Mazona. So he led the benching. Yov Leikasa, the Birchasa, the Rav Nachman. And after the benching, he gave Rav Nachman to drink also from the coast. And then Rav Nachman said, "Amalei Rav Nachman, Lishtar Marakasa, the Birchasa, Liyalta. Go and send the kosher bracha to my wife Yalta." Yalta was the daughter of the Reish Galusa. She married Rav Nachman, and she was a great, great righteous woman. And he said, "Go send the kosher bracha to my wife." He wanted to be in his barach. He wanted to have the bracha go on pre-bit necha, on his beten, which means her beten. So Gemara says, Omalei, that the Marsha explains over here, that Ula over here said to Rav Nachman, Hachim Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, you don't send it to the wife. Ain pri bit no shalish mizbarach, ela mi pri bit no shalish. You drank from it, and that will be the source that her beten is going to get blessed. Because the pasuk says, shenemar, ubarach pri bit necha. Your bit necha will be blessed, but pri bit no lo nemar. It doesn't say that her belly will be blessed. Of course, the only way you're going to be blessed with children is through her belly, but the pasuk doesn't demand that you should get it. So therefore, Ula said, I'm not sending it to Yal, to your wife. Rav Yochanan says, you don't have to. The pasuk says, "Pri bit necha, ella pri bit necha." Tani Nami Yoch, we have a brayis in support of this as well. Rav Nosson Omer, minayin shein pri bit no shalish mizbarach, ella mi pri bit no shalish. It's the man who causes the brach over here. Shenema ubrach pri bit necha, pri bit na lo nemar ella pri bit necha. No, this was the drasha that Ula said. Why I'm not sending it to Yalta, your wife? Yalta was a big talmidah chachama. Adahachi shoma Yalta. She heard about this, and koma bezihara. She got up angrily. Rashi says, Omda Bikas, we'll see in a moment why. V'osa lebei chamra, she went down to the wine cellar, v'tovra dalid meyodani de chamra, and she broke 400 barrels of wine. Very strange story. I put in a little plug over here, I wrote a sefer on women in the Talmud, and I discuss all of these stories of women in both Brachos and all of Seder Moed, and this story has prominence in there. I suggest if you want to read more about this, because we're not going to have time to go into it in greater detail, but I'll point out some highlights of the story, what exactly is going on over here. In any event, Yalta broke 400 barrels of wine. The Mefarshim explained she wanted to demonstrate, it ain't the wine that I'm missing. If I wanted wine, I have all the wine here in the wine cellar. I want to show you how unimportant wine is to me. It's the kosher bracha that I was interested in to get the bracha of pre-bidnecha. And therefore, you didn't send it to me, and that's why I'm upset. Now, how could she destroy all the wine? So some of them first say she didn't destroy the wine. She actually just broke the seals on the barrels and gave it all away to Aniyim. To again demonstrate, I'm not interested over here in drinking wine, and I'm not interested in having wine in my house. The only purpose over here for the wine, she says, was for me to get the kosher bracha, and you didn't give it to me, and I want to demonstrate to you that what you did was wrong. Amalei Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman then tells Ula, Nu, nishtar lo mar kasa achrina. So you see, obviously, that she wanted the kosher bracha. Send her another kosher bracha. So Ula sent her, shalach lo, and he said, Kol hai navga debircha sahi. He says, any wine from that barrel that we poured our kosher bracha in is also called wine of kosher bracha, and this is just as good as getting the original glass of wine that was the kosher bracha that I actually benched on. Yalta was very, very bright, and she sent him back, Shochale, Mi Mahadure Mile. Rashi explains over here, Mi Mahadure Mile means Mi Machziri Bayoros, from peddlers, people that go from house to house, Yarbu Tomidwar, they're always telling a tall tale. In other words, you don't know what you're talking about. Umismartute Kalmi, and from worn out clothing, you get lice. In other words, she was telling him over here that what you just told me isn't true, and that's not right. You should have sent me the kosher bracha, and unfortunately, there is no way to make up for that at this point in time. The Gemara continues and says, Amar Ravasi, Eimei Sichin al kosher bracha. You're not allowed to interrupt with talking when you're eating the kosher bracha. As soon as you grab it, as soon as you're given the cup, Rashi says, Mishiachas Achi Yavarech. So once you get the kosher bracha, you shouldn't talk until you start to bench. Ravasi said another thing, Ein Vracha La Koshel Paranus. You're not allowed to make a Koshel Bracha from a Kos Paranus. What does it mean, a Kos Paranus? My Koshel Paranus, the Gemara says, Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kosheni. Now this introduces a concept that we really don't understand at all, called Zugos. Rashi explains over here that if you have even number cups of drinking, it somehow is dangerous. And therefore, if the second cup that you're going to have is going to be the cup of benching, and that's going to be the only additional cup that you're drinking, and that's going to be the second cup, you're going to be in trouble with his zugos. The Madani Yontif brings down over here an interesting discussion. How can we have four kosas on Pesach if that's dangerous? And he has a whole discussion over there. I ain't show him in the Madani Yontif. The Gemara says, Tani Nami Yachav, another brisa that supports this and says, Ashosu Kiflayim, if somebody drinks even numbers of drinks, zugos, lo yivarech, you shouldn't make him bench. Mishum Shinemar, Hikon, Likras, Elokech Yisrael, prepare yourself, the high, low, misukan. And this guy is not prepared. Again, Rav Yavoh, either he said it or it was said in a brisa. Ha'ochel u'mahalech. If somebody's eating while he's walking, so mevarech mu'umad. He stops and he stands up and benches. U'kisho'ochel mu'umad. If he had already stopped and he's eating while he's standing up, mevarech b'yushev. He should sit down. U'kishu meisev. If he's already reclining, fa'ochel when he's eating, yoshev. He sits up to properly bench. You don't bench in a reclining position. U'mevarech. That's the different positions that a person can bench in if he finds himself in those positions. But the Gemara says, V'hilchasa, Bekulu, the halacha l'maisa, and all of these is Yoshev u'mevarach. The proper way is to sit down like a mensch and bench properly. A person shouldn't bench on the run. A person shouldn't go and bench in any position other than sitting down when he can concentrate appropriately. The pshat, the Ian from Ashtern Baches, how did the Kohanim bench in the Azara? They're not allowed to sit down. So he points out that they stood in the Azara, and therefore, if you're standing, that's their kvias, and therefore, if your kvias is standing up, so too you can bench and have kavana while you're standing up. He also suggests that there's a Gemara in Yuma that says that the Kohanim are allowed to eat in the Azara their kavanos while they're sitting down, so therefore, they were sitting down, therefore they can sit for benching as well. And now we begin the beautiful eighth perek. And we begin, this is going to be discussing a number of differences between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the Suda. So the Mishnah here, we're just going to really go through the words, and the Gemara will ultimately explain each of these distinctions in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, El Dvar Mishabein Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the following are the different opinions between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding Besuda, regarding the meal. As Rashi says, Shenechleku b'halacha suda. They had a number of different opinions as to how one should conduct himself during the meal. So the first one, Beis Shammai Yomim Mivarech al Hayom. You first make the bracha, for example, Mekadesh Shabbos, or Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yazmanim, for Shabbos Yontiv, and only afterwards, V'Yachachach Mivarech al Yain. And then you make the Bar Pir Goffin afterwards. Of course, we do like Beis Hillel, or Beis Hillel Omrim, Mivarech al Yain. First, you make the Bar Pir Goffin, and then afterwards, V'Yachachach Mivarech al Hayom. Then you make the Mekadesh Shabbos afterwards. Another machlok is, Beis Shammai Yomim Notlin Yodayim, you first wash your hands until Tehilas Yodayim, and then, V'yachachach, Mozgin Esakos, then you fill up the wine cup, you dilute the wine. The Gemara will explain why. Beis Hillel Omrim, Mozgin Esakos, no, first you fill up the wine, you dilute the wine, V'yachachach, Notlin Yodayim, and only afterwards do you wash your hands until Tehilas Yodayim. Next, Beis Shammai Yomim, Mekaneach Yodav B'mapa, you draw your hands off after you wash them with some sort of a towel, B'mapa, and where do you put that mapa? Umenich al Hashulchan, you put it on the table. Beis Hillel disagree. Beis Hillel Omrim al Hakesis, you put it on the pillow that's next to you. Now, again, the Gemara will explain the understanding what the machlokas is between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. A lot of them have to deal with Tuma and Tara concerns, which we'll discuss when we get to them in the Gemara. Next, machlok is Beis Shammai Yomim Mechab Dinis Abayis. You sweep up the house, and only afterwards, V'yachachach, Notlin Yadayim, then you wash your hands. Beis Hillel disagree. Beis Hillel Omrim Notlin Yadayim. First, you wash your hands, V'yachachach, Mechab Dinis Abayis, and then you go and sweep up the house. Rashi points out that we're talking here about Mayim Achronim. This, the Tilas Yadayim over here, is for Mayim Achronim. And if you're on the floor, you couldn't be sweeping up the floor. If it's on the table, you're sweeping up the crumbs from the table. The next machlos between Bisham and Bishalol, Rashi says, we're dealing over here, Misha Ein Loela Kos Echod, B'motzi Shabbos. A person only has one cup of wine, and it's Motzi Shabbos. He has to make Abdullah, and he also wants to eat. So what should he do? So Bisham Yomrim, the order is as follows. You take the kos of wine, you make Ner, which is Barim Yoreish, then you bench, because you're eating, and Besamim, then you make the Barim Yoreish Besamim, and then Abdullah, and then you follow that with Abdullah. Bishalol disagree. They say, Omrim, Ner comes first, then the Besamim, then the Birchas HaMazon, and then Havdalah. Again, we'll get to the Gemara, and we'll explain this in more detail. The next machlokas is, Beisham Yomrim, Shebara Me'ora Eish. The bracha is, Bara Me'ora Eish. Beisham Yomrim, Bore Me'ora Eish. Like the bracha that we have, Bore Me'ora Eish. We'll understand what the difference is between Me'or and Me'ora. Then, Ein Mevarchim Lo Ala Ner, V'lo Ala Besamim Shalakim. Everybody agrees, you're not allowed to go, and when you're using the Ner or the Besamim, it can't belong to a goy. And likewise, not from the Ner and the Besamim that we use for a mace. The Gemara will explain why you can't use from an Akum and why you can't use from a mace. And likewise, and certainly you can't use the Ner Besamim that we use for an Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara will explain this in detail as well. And you don't make the bracha bar miresh until you get some benefit. You benefited in some way from the light of the candle. Finally, Misha Ochal v'Shochach v'lo Berach. If a person ate and he forgot to bench, so Beisham Yomrim Yachzol l'Mekomo v'Yivarach. You have to go back to the place where you ate and bench over there. Beisil Yomrim, you're allowed to go and bench Yivarach b'Makum Shiniskar. You're allowed to go and bench where you are when you remembered. Ideally, you should go back to the place, but if it's too difficult, you can bench right where you are. How long can you bench after you finished eating? You should bench right away, of course. But you didn't bench right away, you forgot. When is it no longer able to bench? Until when can you still bench after eating? So the Mishnah says, until the food inside your stomach has been digested, until it's all gone. And the Gemara will explain exactly what this means. This is normally a shear of 72 minutes, the amount of time it takes a person to walk 4 mil, assuming that the rate is a person can walk 1 mil, which is about a kilometer, it's 2,000 amos, in 18 minutes. So therefore, this shear is 72 minutes. Then the Mishnah says, Bolen yayin achar mazon, if they bring out wine after the meal is concluded, but before benching, so they only have that one cup of wine. In Ein Shom Elo Oswa Koz, they only have that cup of wine, so what should you do? You're thirsty right now, and you want to drink it right now, but then if you drink it now, you're not going to have a cup for benching. So Beisham Yomrim Mevarech LaYayin, you're allowed to make the bracha on the wine right now, and then you bench without a kos. V'yachad kach Mevarech LaMazon without a kos. We'll explain this more in the Gemara as well. Beisham Yomrim, no. Mevarech LaMazon, you have to go and use the kos for mazon. And then V'yachad kach Mevarech LaYayin, after you make the bracha for mazon on the kos, then you can drink the wine. Finally, the Mishnah concludes and says, "V'onin amen achi Yisrael mevarech." If you come in the middle of a bracha and you hear Yisrael making the bracha, as Rashi says, "Afilu lo shom elosof bracha," you only hear him say the end of the bracha, "Shakol ni'ebed varo," then you're allowed to answer amen. However, v'ain onin amen achar kusi hamavarech. But if a kusi you come in on and he's making a bracha and he says shakol ni'ebed varo, you're not allowed to answer amen unless at sheishama kol bracha kula. If he said baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech olam shakol ni'ebed varo, then you can assume he was saying it to Hashem and you can answer amen. Otherwise, you don't know what he said before the shakol ni'ebed varo, and therefore you can't answer amen. But if he's a from yid, if he's a regular yid, then you can assume that he said it to Hashem, and even though you only heard the end of it, you can answer amen. That's a long Mishnah with a lot of things to be discussed in the Gemara. Let's start. The Gemara begins, Tana Rabbanan, Devar Mishabein Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Basuda. Following things are between Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and the Suda. We had a whole list of them in the Mishnah. The first one is as follows. Beis Shammai, Yom Mevarech, Halayom, you first make Mekadesh HaShabbos, let's say, Be'achakach, Mevarech, Halayim, Bori Pia Gofen. Why? Shayom, the day of Shabbos, is Gorim Liayin. What came first? Shabbos comes first. And therefore, Shabbos causes the wine to come to the table. That's why you should make the Kaddish HaShabbos first and then the Bar Pir Gofen. Shayom, Gorim Liayin, Shiyovo. And furthermore, Ukvar Kiddish Hayom. Second of all, it's been Shabbos already before you're now making Kiddush. So therefore, Shabbos started an hour ago. And therefore, Shabbos already came. So the Kaddish HaShabbos has to come before the wine. Bar Pia Gofen. So these are two reasons for Beis Shammai saying you make the Mekadesh HaShabbos before you make the Bar Pia Gofen. So he says, the second one, Ukvar Kiddush Hayom V'Adayin Yayin Lo Ba. The wine didn't come at the start of the day. Shabbos comes first.
Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel Omrim, they only give one answer first. Beis Hillel Omrim, Mevorach HaYayin, Yachakach Mevorach HaYom. That you first make the Bar Pri HaGofen, and then you make Mekadesh HaShabbos, as we do. Why? Shahayayin Gorim L'Kedusha. The Kedusha doesn't have to come now at this point. You can make the Kedusha at any point on Shabbos. So now that you have the wine, and the rabbi said, make Kedusha on the wine, the Yayin is Gorim, the Kedusha that we're about to say, Mekadesh HaShabbos. So therefore, you make the Bar Pri HaGofen first, and then Mekadesh HaShabbos. So therefore, Hayayin Gorim L'Kedusha Shetayomar. Secondly, Dover Acher, we bring a second reason, Birchas Hayayin Tadira. The wine, the Bracha Bar Pri HaGofen, you make on a very regular basis. Ubirchas Hayom in a Tadira. The Mekadesh HaShabbos is only once a week. Mekadesh Yisrael V'Zmanim is three times a year. So therefore, Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, we have a principle. Something that comes frequently, something that comes not as frequently. If you're going to do both of them, Tadir Kodem, you do the more frequent one first. And then the Gemara concludes and says, Halacha Kedivri Beis Hillel. We pass it over here like Beis Hillel. So we have two questions over here. Why did you have to tell me a Dover Acher? And why are you telling me that Halacha is like Beis Hillel? So first we start off, my Dover Acher. Why do you have to give me a second reason? You gave me a reason over here that the wine causes the Shabbos to come. Hayayin Gorem L'Kedusha. So therefore, that would be enough. Why did you tell me Dover Acher, Tadir V'Tadir V'Sheino Tadir? The Gemara says, because V'chitem Ahasim Tarte, because Beis Shammai gave us two reasons, as I pointed out before. So maybe over here, V'Hach HaChadah, Beis Hillel only has one, so maybe we should pass him over here like Beis Shammai, because they have two reasons, Beis Hillel only has one, Hach HaNami, so therefore, we're telling us over here that Beis Hillel also has two reasons, Hach HaNami, Tarte Ninu, Birchas Hayayin, Tadira, Birchas Hayom, Eino Tadira. That's why they have to give us the second reason, Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. Period. Very good. Then it says, V'alocha g'divrei Beis Hillel. The halacha is like Beis Hillel. So Gemara says, Pshita, everybody knows that. D'ha nafka basko, because a basko came out, the famous story in the Gemara in Erevin, that a basko came out for Shemaim and said, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. So why are you telling me that halacha is like Beis Hillel? So the Gemara says, Yibayis Hema, call them basko. Number one, maybe this story over here, this discussion in the Gemara, occurred before the basko came out. And that's why you have to tell me that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, because this is pre-basko. But the more correct teretz, you might say, but the second teretz is la'achar baskol. It in fact happened after the baskol. The Rabbi Yeshua he, and this goes like the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua in Bava Metzia, where we had the famous machlokas of the Tanner Achnoi, the special Tanner that was in the place called Achnoi, or Achnoi means like a snake. We have a famous machlokas where Rileza says that it lost its status of tumah when you broke it up, and Yeshua said it did not. And they got into a big sichsuch over there, and Rabbi Elazar brought all sorts of rayas from Shemayim, that he's right, and Rabbi Yeshua said, the answers aren't for Shemayim. And even though a basko rang out from Shemayim and said Rabbi Elazar is right, Rabbi Yeshua said, Rabbi Yeshua heed the Omar, ein mashgichim bevasko. We don't listen to a basko. Despite the fact that it seems HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, paskins, like Rabbi Elazar, we don't paskin from Shemayim. The based in on this world paskins, and therefore, that's why he wanted to tell us over here that even though there was a basko, you need to tell me that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. With this, we conclude today's shiur.